following has been pre-recorded for your listening and dancing pleasure.
This Doug and Danny podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
You can't see me, but I'm wearing a 10-gallon hat and holding a 5-gallon bucket. Just hurry into any Napa Auto Parts store and get a free Napa 5-gallon wash bucket with a $25 purchase. Use it for washing old Betsy or even as a tool chest. I mean, tool bucket. 5 gallons hold so much and cost so little. Like nothing, because it's free. Who needs a bucket of chicken when you can just have a bucket? Offer expires 6/30/12. See participating Napa Auto Parts store for details.
Wait, so I'm not eating barbecue right now?
Are you messing with us?
You're eating a chip. They're smokehouse-style barbecue ruffles.
But it tastes like delicious smoky barbecue.
Yeah, that's kind of the point. How are you not getting this?
So it's not actual barbecue.
I was going to ask if you were raised by wolves, but I think even wolves would get this idea.
Ruffles. Snack like you mean it.
It's time for the Doug and Daddy Show, Central Nebraska's only local sports call-in show, featuring award-winning sports director Doug Duda and Big Daddy Tony Davis. Guests include local and regional sports figures, everyone from Big Ten head coaches and athletes to the top D2 NAIA and high school coaches and athletes. They analyze all sports from pro football to junior hockey. Join the show by calling the Bruce Furniture fan line toll-free at 1-888-455-ESPN, 1-888-455-3776. Email the Den Popper inbox at douganddaddy@espnsuperstation.com. Send us a tweet at ESPN1460-1550. Or send us a Facebook comment, facebook.com/ESPN Superstation. Let's head to the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth for the Doug and Daddy Show.
And a good Friday morning, everyone. Welcome to the Doug and Daddy Show on Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Glad to have you along with us today. A lot going on. It's the opening day of the College World Series in Omaha. Day two of the U.S. Open going on in San Francisco. We've got both of them for you live here on ESPN Radio. Game two of the NBA Finals in the books last night. And, of course, plenty of Major League Baseball going on as well. Doug Duda, Big Daddy Tony Davis, and our producer-engineer Jeff Babel taking care of everything for you on today's program. We'll take a look at the leaderboard here in just a moment from the U.S. Open and remind you that coming up on the show today, we will be talking with the head baseball coach at UCLA, John Savage, as they have the opening game this afternoon against Stony Brook at 4 o'clock. He'll be joining us here in just a few minutes on the Doug and Daddy Show. We'll also talk with Sam McEwen of the Omaha World Herald, our TNL recruiting update. Really, you wouldn't be, if you're not following, if you're not deep into this message board and online and everyday recruiting and who's looking, you wouldn't even know much is going on right now. But it's actually a very busy 2 weeks that is just getting ready to end here for the Huskers and recruiting and camps and football 202 and so much more. And we'll talk with Sam McEwen about that. And Bubba Jenkins, who will be fighting in RFA 3 2 weeks from today, will be joining us. I'll talk a little MMA about his fight and about his career and what he has got going on. Again, another up-and-comer in the sport, Daddy.
Yeah, he certainly is, and he's been one of those people that has a successful wrestling career, was a national champion at Penn State in the NCAA ranks, and he's won numerous national titles when he started wrestling at age 9. Now he's trying to propel himself into the sport. He talks about, in a little bit of his bio, talks about wrestling when Joe Paterno met him. Joe Paterno went for some kind of takedown on him, and they wrestled around a little bit. That's kind of one of the highlights. We'll talk to him about that. And what else he's been doing is he's getting ready for this fight in Kearney. Him and I believe there's a kid by the name of Lance Palmer. These guys have using the NCAA wrestling, been national champions, been very, very successful in Division I wrestling, and using that to their advantage as they propel themselves into the sport of MMA. So
these guys at the Open are making it look a lot tougher than usual. Matt Kuchar just hit a Doug Duda. Just absolutely zinged one out of the bunker across the green and into the rough. I mean, Daddy, yes, it's tough, but you're seeing some spots where I think it gets to these guys. If this was if this was the Players or the John Deere Classic or pick anything you want, the China Open overseas, these shots wouldn't be as hard. But just right there, Matt Kuchar, basic shot out of a bunker. Zing.
Well, you know, they're talking about Bubba Watson and him not shooting the round he wanted yesterday, and just the difference. And every shot is so critical on this golf course. You know, to be able to bomb it away at Augusta with wide open fairways, or for the most part wide open, and if you go through a fairway, sometimes you're in the next fairway and can recover from that quite easily. Just a way different golf course. And I don't know, if you're not total, have that mental focus, many people think in the old days that was a big advantage for Woods because he had it over everybody. Maybe he's got it back over everybody. We'll see how he plays this afternoon.
Not good either, John, for Matt Kuchar. He double bogeyed the first hole. He's on the second. Also, John Peterson, not the one you know, but he's two over today. There's not a lot under par making moves right now. Nick Watney, four over today through just three holes. Yesterday, the Albatross, the Double Eagle.
The Double Eagle is 1 in 17,000 more chance rare. I read that on Twitter last night. A 1 in 17,000 more chance rare than a hole-in-one is for these guys. Nick Watney with that Double Eagle, he went from like 73rd, a tie for 73rd, to like 14th or so. I mean, it was just, talk about a jump on the leaderboard that can give you. But, I mean, it's a big swing, obviously.
Peter Lorre is bogey, double bogey, par bogey. He is four over through just four holes today. Five over through four holes today, so he is struggling out there, and there's just nobody going the right way. And I think you take a look at this, and you're going to realize that when Ogilvy won it at five over a handful of years ago, when Phil Mickelson needed par on the last and couldn't get it, hit into the tenths, that was the U.S. Open. I mean, they're right. Some people thought maybe they'd be able to get to eight under or something like that, two under a day or something like that. You're going to, nobody, if you're under par, you're winning this tournament. Easily winning this tournament.
You know, that's,
and that plays to Tiger.
That separates a lot of people out, because to do that 4 days and to remain that focused without falling apart with one shot into cabbage. And when Tiger missed, what, four fairways yesterday, and three out of the four were just trickled over into the first cut of rough, that's pretty good golf when you're able to hit greens. And I just think to zero in on every shot, that really plays into his hands. We'll see how he does. You know, he hasn't played great golf all year. There's nobody to make that statement. But when he's focused, there is no one better in the game.
888-455-ESPN. That's the phone number, 888-455-3776. We told you about this week. We were giving lots of things away. And today, we want to give you a chance to play in the two-man, two-day extravaganza, which is this weekend at the Broken Bow Country Club. Maybe your calendar just opened up. That happens from time to time. Sometimes you go, oh, I can't play. And then all of a sudden, oh, well, this isn't happening. I can play. We're going to give you a chance to put the ESPN team into the two-man, two-day extravaganza, and it's tomorrow and Sunday. Beautiful Broken Bow Country Club, 10 a.m. shotgun each day. It's a fun format. Saturday, 9-hole best ball, 9-hole alternate shot. Then Sunday, 9-hole scramble and 9-hole aggregate. There's Calcutta putting and 100-yard shot contest on Saturday evening. Normally, this would be $120 value. We're going to get you in for free in just moments, so be listening for your chance. If you want to get up, go to Broken Bow. Maybe you're from Broken Bow. Maybe Postal Chuck wants to play. I don't know. I don't care. Somebody's going to win this two-man, two-day extravaganza. That is tomorrow and Sunday at the Broken Bow Country Club.
I hate that alternate shot deal, because I got to hit half of them.
Yeah, that you have to play. They need you for the 3-foot putts.
There you
or
go.
Or the 1 foot. Michael Thompson is your leader. He tees off at 2:50 this afternoon. 2:52 this afternoon. Tiger Woods and that group will tee off at 3:18 this afternoon. So if you can get off work a little early, you can catch that. And, of course, we'll be right after the Doug and Daddy Show at 12 noon. We take it out to San Francisco for live coverage of the U.S. Open, which will go until 3:40. Then we're off to Omaha for the College World Series. UCLA and Stony Brook and UCLA coach John Savage going to join us here momentarily. Daddy, though, the guys that were behind Michael Thompson, all name golfers that were at one under coming into the day. David Toms, Nick Watney, Justin Rose. Oh, and somebody's 80-1 dark horse, Graham McDowell.
Who picked that? Golf Channel?
when we were talking to Shackelford on Tuesday.
Let's go back to the tape.
That's fine.
Yeah. If you picked 80,
you won't pick anybody. You picked Tiger.
Wow.
But you know what? If he's the winner, then you were right.
Yeah, 80-1. You will have Schwartzel.
Yep.
The last couple years ago at the Masters. That was an excellent pick, by the way. I did hear you say that. I'll tell you what you got going on this weekend, whether you're going to play in this golf tournament, maybe you get done in Broken Bow.
Father's Day.
Yeah, Father's Day going on. You got Troutman's Quality Meats waiting for you. Troutman's has all you need, plus all the sauteings, all the rubs you want to go on your steak, on your ribs. You know what? You're going to fire up the smoker. They've got it for you. Everything you could want. Spare ribs, back ribs, St. Louis ribs. If you don't know what to get Dad, a gift card from Troutman's always is a great thing. Throw the brisket on the smoker. Wash it down with the beer, wines. They've got them there for you. Troutman's Quality Meats. T-Bone's waiting for you there. It does not get any better, folks. All the steaks are aged a minimum of 30 days. Peak flavor and tenderness. Always a large selection of fresh smoked sausages. Fresh out of the smokehouse. State Fair brats happen to be my favorite. Just the regular ones with cheese in them are excellent as well. Troutman's Quality Meats, it's all certified Angus beef. They'll custom cut meat selections to any of your specifications. You want them a little thicker? Boom, goes the dynamite. They go out the door with you. Carrie's waiting for you behind the counter. Troutman's Quality Meats, T-Bone. Carrie, they're all doing it for you this Father's Day. Get there, check it out today.
UCLA baseball coach John Savage next on the Doug and Daddy Show.
Hey, it's Golic. Looking for a great gift for Dad on Father's Day? Stop by Lowe's today and pick up a Cobalt 29-piece double drive screwdriver set, now only $19.98. That's a saving of $10. Or go with a gift the entire family can enjoy, like Charbroil True Infrared Gas Grills, now 20% off. Or you can pick up a special Father's Day gift card and let Dad choose his own gift. No matter what your dad's into, you'll always find the perfect Father's Day gift at Lowe's. Lowe's, never stop improving. Offers valid through June 18th. See store for details.
According to Mayan prophecy, 2012 will be the last Father's Day ever because the world is actually ending in what looks like a fiery zombie alien apocalypse. Heads up! So let's make this Father's Day ultra cool. Give Ice Blue Aquavelva aftershave.
Happy Father's Day, Dad! Whoa!
Thanks, son. Refreshing.
A Father's Day favorite for generations, Aquavelva cools, firms, and tones.
Look out! Aliens! Zombies!
Stay cool, Dad!
Aquavelva. Men get it.
Aquavelva. What?
I'm in the gym with some guys all 30 and older, asking them about the Charger Pack from Complete Nutrition.
My name's Brian, I'm 34. The Charger Pack helped me lose about 15 pounds. Really, I have more stamina than I did 5 years ago.
For guys 30 and older, the Charger Pack recharges your natural testosterone levels back to when you were young and peaking physically. The Charger Pack increases energy levels, and you'll lose fat around your midsection for a stronger core.
Charger Night, I've been taking that now for 6 months, and I've never slept better. I think just a combination of that Charger product really sets the tone for what I need.
Take it from these guys. If you're a male, 30 and older, and you want to naturally lean up and replenish your energy and stamina, get to Complete Nutrition and recharge with a Charger Pack.
Find Complete Nutrition in Grand Island just north of Gordman's off Highway 281, and in Kearney just north of Sun Mart on 2nd Avenue.
Are you looking to make your golf family grow? Then parents, bring your kids to the Kearney Junior Golf Clinic this Saturday morning from 9:30 to 12 noon at Meadowlark Hills Golf Course. It's sponsored by the Nebraska section of the PGA, Central Nebraska Seniors Association, the Kearney Chamber of Commerce, Tour Edge Junior Golf, and U.S. Kids Golf. It's open to all kids, boys and girls, age 9 through 15, and the cost is only $5 per child. Learn chipping, putting, the swing, etiquette, and a whole lot more. Plus, there'll be hot dogs and pop for the kids, a junior golf demo day sponsored by Tour Edge and U.S. Kids Golf, and a whole lot more. Kearney Country Club and Meadowlark Hills professional golfers will be on hand to help your children learn the game of golf. It's this Saturday, the Kearney Junior Golf Clinic from 9:30 to 12 noon. For more information or to register your child, contact the Kearney Country Club or Meadowlark Hills. Saturday's Kearney Junior Golf Clinic beginning at 9:30 at Meadowlark Hill.
Doug and Daddy's Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN radio superstation. What'd you think of game 2 last night?
I wish there had been a call on Durant at the end of the game going up. It would have been a call on anybody else in the league if any of the other superstars take it. Kobe doesn't get that call. Can you imagine the outcry today if LeBron didn't get that call? I wish that had been called. Other than that, they felt...
You're talking about the very last shot?
I'm talking about down by four or whatever they were with a chance, or down by two, and he goes for to the baseline shot, gets clubbed and goes up. I mean, I wish that would have been called and saw, but they fell behind too far. I thought too early by too far and had to claw their way back in. Two pretty good, two really, really talented teams going at it, though.
Game three is Sunday night, and you can catch that right here on ESPN Radio after College World Series action. All the opening ceremonies were rained out, though, last night.
Yeah, that's disappointing for the fans. I know they appreciate that, and all the players like to get out there and have a good time and meet some people and try and win over Omaha a little bit. But what do? Can't control the weather, so no big deal there.
Our College World Series preview continues with one of the friends of the program because, by God, they've been here a lot, not only for the College World Series, but a couple series with the Huskers, and UCLA's back in town. Only problem, Daddy. Only people from Los Angeles are probably going to be rooting for him on Friday.
Yeah, they're facing the Cinderella, but what do? John Savage, I'm sure he doesn't care who he's facing as long as he's playing in Omaha. Coach, good morning. Thanks so much for the time.
Good morning. Thanks, guys. Thanks for having me.
Well, it's great to have you on, and boy, what a run you guys are on right now, 19-2 since May 1st. Was there something that changed from May 1st? Why is the team playing so well at this point in the season?
Well, we've played well all year, you know. I mean, we start off, had a bad weekend the first weekend, and then we really just said to ourselves, hey, we have a good team, and we played Baylor and Georgia and Purdue and, of course, everybody in our conference. And it's just been a balanced team, guys. It's just been a good pitching team, a solid offense, and a good defensive team. We don't wow anybody. We haven't hammered anybody, but it's just been kind of a workmanlike team and a lot of chemistry. And we did blow a game against Purdue on May 6th that, we don't like to talk about, but that really helped us, I think, kind of go on this run. So there's a lot of confidence, and they're on a mission.
Well, obviously, as members now of the Big Ten Conference, we thank you for throwing a bone our way.
Well, Purdue was very, very good, and we were, we were on the verge of sweeping them, and they came back in the ninth inning in a big deficit, and it just goes to show you how good they were, because they, they had, I think, one of their best years of their history. So, that was a good weekend, beating them 2 out of 3.
Coach, how have you survived the draft? The Huskers went through a draft that was just decimated. Every kid that they were looking at to come in there with pitchers, they ended up going. You had kids come back. This group stayed together. How did you survive that?
Well, we've taken our blows, man. I mean, it's Bauer, who's the third pick. Cole, of course, was the first pick. And we lose guys every year like everybody else. We lose juniors. We have no seniors on this team, by the way. We had over 10 guys drafted last year. We've had over 50-something drafted in 7 years. So you have to reload, and you have to have a little approach to where, hey, you know what? I may sign this guy, but it's 2080, this guy's going to show up. So you really have to have a little crystal ball, really. And we're going to lose 3 guys in this year's draft, high school kids, the 7th pick, and Max Fried, and Giolito, the 16th pick, and Daniel Robertson, who's a sandwich pick. So you have to be lucky. You have to make sure what's out there, and you really got to get invested in the families and make sure that they value education and playing in the Pac-12, and that they really genuinely have interest in going to school, or else you could be blindsided, and that's not a good feeling, being left there in middle of July and not having a whole lot of things to go to. So it's a difficult task, but I think everybody knows it's there, and you got to make sure you know what you're dealing with.
UCLA baseball coach John Savage with us here on the Doug and Daddy Show on ESPN Radio. 7 guys off this year's team drafted in the first 15 rounds. Do you think any of those guys will be back next year?
No, they won't. they're just plain and simple. I think they'll sign. A lot of juniors are signing now, especially on the West. If you go in the first 15, 10 rounds, most of them are signing. If you go beyond that, a lot of them do come back. But, they all dream of going to Major League Baseball, and a lot of those kids have gone to Omaha two of the last 3 years, so they've kind of put that stamp on it. Now, obviously, our next opportunity is winning a national championship, and that would really send them off, you know. So, we have no misconception of guys coming back for their senior year. It's, it does happen, rare, but you just have to plan for that.
You know, even Stony Brook had seven kids, I believe, drafted in a Major League Baseball draft. Coach, do you like when the draft falls, or do you just assume they wait till after this College World Series is played to maybe the focus? Is it still there? I suppose every kid's different individually, but do you like where it falls?
No, it's a poor time. I mean, the NBA, you look at theirs in April, and you look at the NFL draft, and, you know, you're talking about just an emotional, roller coaster. I mean, you're talking about guys are excited and guys are down, and you're taking finals, and, finals are, critical for your eligibility for the following year, and guys go in the fifth round and they're excited. Guys go in the 25th round, they're disappointed. Guys that didn't get drafted. So you're really talking about a lot of emotion. We have 20 finals we have to take here this week, so it's really difficult, guys, to draft. I mean, I don't know when they can have it. I understand they got to. It's just baseball. It has to be before the summer leagues to get going, and they got to fulfill their organization. So I don't have a great answer for you, but it's not a great. You just have to deal with it, and we try to deal with it the best we can. So do I like it? No. Do we deal with it? Absolutely yes.
John Savage, head baseball coach at UCLA, getting ready for their College World Series opener against Stony Brook. They, of course, were in the championship against South Carolina in 2010 and hoping to get back there this year. And one of the reasons you're back, Coach, is this year's team is hitting the ball so much better than last year.
Yeah, they really are. You know, we got just blindsided. I mean, we didn't handle the old bat thing. The bats came down last year, and, the exit velocity, and we just, we had power pitching. We had Omaha pitching last year like we did in 2010. Everybody really just penciled us in, and we couldn't hit. And we didn't put the bat on the ball very often, and we struck out way too much, and we couldn't produce runs. We weren't hitting doubles or home runs. So it was a 2-1, 1-0, 3-2. It was a dogfight every game. And this year we just have had much better luck, and Coach Peters has done a terrific job with our hitters this season. Of course, we lost a great coach in Coach Vanderhook. He went to took the job at Cal State Fullerton and was a big part of our success. And these guys are more mature. They're stronger, and they got stronger in the weight room. And it just seems like we're just a much better offensive team.
Very, very seldom, I believe, that you go to Omaha and probably ask more questions about the opposition than you are your team. But when you're facing Cinderella, Stony Brook, the vendors can't find hats, for God's sake, Coach. they can't find a Stony Brook hat. How do you find any information out on this team?
Well, I mean, everybody watched the Super Regionals. I mean, they really ran through that regional at Miami. They handled everybody there with big scores, really. And then they handled LSU. I think they led in every inning except for one. So, great story. It's a very similar story that when we played TCU in 2010, I felt everybody in the place was pulling for TCU. So, they deserve to be here. They got very good players. Jankowski's a first-rounder. You're talking about Coach Sink, who's done a terrific job there. They got mentality. They're tough outs. They still throw strikes. They play the game the right way. There's nothing. It's baseball, man. And you can tell a good team when you see them, and they're very good. So it's great. Hopefully it puts people in the seats. Everybody will be pulling for them, and that's probably the way it should be. So we just happen to be their opponent, and our philosophy is go out and play the game and not the opponent, and we just need to be ourselves, and we believe in our abilities, and it should be a fun start to the series. A
couple minutes left here with UCLA baseball coach John Savage on the Doug and Daddy Show. I think it's pretty simple, Daddy. If Nebraska fans are nice to UCLA over the next 10 days, UCLA fans will be nice to Nebraska when they go out for the football game this September. It's pretty simple. It's a give and take. John, Tyler Johnson obviously is going to get the start for Stony Brook, and he's an absolute stud. I assume you're going with Adam for you guys on Friday?
Yes, we are. We won't pluck out, yeah.
Tell me a little bit about why he's your number one guy. I mean, obviously the numbers are there, but what is it that he does so well?
Well, you know, he learned a lot last year. I mean, pitching behind Cole and Bauer on Friday and Saturdays, I mean, he threw over 100 innings. His ERA was 2. He pitches with his fastball, guys. I mean, he's 88 to 90. It's not a huge fastball, but it's a solid fastball. Very good changeup, a good slider, good curveball. He's competitive. He throws strikes. It's a repeatable delivery, and he's been our guy. You know, I mean, he's learned from Trevor and Garrett a lot last year, and he's not overpowering. The numbers just are not eye-popping, but the guy comes at you, and, you know, we have roles in the bullpen. We turn the ball over in the sixth or seventh inning. Our starters really, the super regionals and the regionals were exceptions for us because we had not gone that long in all year in games, and so that was a little different. But our bullpen's our strength as well, guys, and it's kind of a team effort, and we have roles, and we like our depth of our staff.
John, I want to ask you offensively, maybe not go with the guy that's hitting the best, but Bo Amaral's a name that people recognize because, of course, of his dad playing in the Major League Baseball. But he provides a presence and a leadership quality I think very few possess.
No doubt. I mean, I think he's the best. He's one of the best. I mean, you really got two of the best center fielders in the country going on Friday with Jankowski and Amaral. Amaral's been our leader since day one. He started in center field since a freshman. He's a seventh-round pick of the Reds. He can go get the ball in the outfield. He can throw. He's one of those leadoff guys. He can steal base. He can hit a double. He can hit a home run, and he can put down a bunt. You know, he's a very versatile guy, very athletic, and he's won a lot of games in a Bruin uniform. So we're very proud of Bo. And you're right, Rich played in with Seattle for, I think, 10 years, and it was part of that win against the Yankees in the Kingdom, and Bo was right there in the dugout. And, you know, a lot of genes, and you know, Major League kids, a lot of times they just have a feel of play, and Bo's really established himself as a player for us.
Coach, last question. We'll let you get out of here. We haven't talked much or hardly at all about Arizona. Chance you could see them in Game 2 one way or the other. They're the second Pac-12 team in. Give us just a little taste of what Arizona has.
Very, very offensive team. They're a little bit like us junior-wise. They got a bunch of juniors. They're more right-handed, and we're left-handed. I like their team a lot. They have the most valuable player in our league, Mejia, at shortstop. Mejia's Breen at third base. Ref Snyder, who's a terrific outfielder. They're complete. They got Pyre, you know, the starting pitcher on Friday, and really like their team. They're coached by a great coach in Coach Lopez, and they are as good as anybody out there. I mean, they tied with us for the conference, and I think won just as many games as we did outside of conference. So Arizona's as good a team as there is in the country.
Well, Coach, get those finals taken so those kids can concentrate on a little bit of baseball. Okay?
Finals? Yeah, you're right. It's something that we got to deal with. It's just it's like the draft, so we're dealing with it.
That was with the playoffs? Finals?
Yeah, the playoffs, exactly.
Coach, thanks so much for the time today. It's Doug and Daddy Show on ESPN Radio.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
You bet, Coach. John Savage joining us here as UCLA, first game of the College World Series. They take on Stony Brook this afternoon here on ESPN Radio at 4 o'clock. And all of our guests taken care of by our friends at BK. Home of the Whopper, Kearney's favorite burger for more than 30 years. Two locations in Kearney, also Lexington, Cozad, and North Platte. As we roll along on this Friday, Daddy.
Yeah, we're going to talk a little RFA. It's coming to Kearney in 2 weeks from this weekend. We're looking forward to it. We're joined right now by Bubba Jenkins. He's a 157-pound NCAA wrestling champion. Bubba, how are you today?
What's going on? Well, I'm doing well. Doing well. I'm actually out here in Orlando, Florida, doing a little kids camp for some of the kids, and you know, just toning up my body, getting ready for this fight, June 30th.
That's what are we teaching the kids? Are they little kids? Or are we in high school? What's the basis of the camp?
There's about 200 kids here, so it's from high school. I mean, there's even some freshmen and sophomores in college. So I mean, these little guys. I'm not sure these guys have been running for too long. So I mean, I got anything from 23 to 6 years old right now, 6-5 years old. So I'm teaching them all kinds of things, man. Mostly the little kids. I teach them the fun moves. You know, the moves that, you know, not the basics, the stuff that they don't always see with their dads and their other coaches are teaching them. I'm teaching them some exciting stuff. And the college kids, I'm teaching them some more athletic, more moves than they're used to, some type of athletic moves that, you know, they don't get everywhere. I usually try to come in and give them a different view of wrestling than the ones that the coaches and their dads give them all the time. So I try to mix it up a little bit.
Bob, it's interesting for you guys to come from the NCAA wrestling world. Lance Palmer, I believe, Ohio State kid, coming from the same deal. Using that to jumpstart your MMA career, did you know when you were wrestling, whether it be for Arizona State or Penn State, did you know that you wanted to be an MMA fighter?
Well, after I won Junior Worlds in Beijing when I was a true sophomore, I kind of had a nudge that I wanted to be start fighting, because I feel like, you know, the Olympics is the next step up as far as a wrestler after winning NCAA's, of course, the World Tournament and the Olympics. But I feel like once I won the Junior World Tournament, I've already been overseas, I've already playing myself at one point the best in the world at a weight class, you know, regardless of the age group. And I feel like, you know, if I would have moved on, I could also achieve that. But I feel like the sport of MMA was just getting so big so rapidly quick that I figured I don't want to waste 2 years trying to, you know, hopefully maybe even try win the Olympics. The Olympics will come around again. I want to get these 2 years in to learn it, the sport of MMA, and start getting going with the rest of the world. Really, I want to jump on the bandwagon of the sport that is MMA. So, you know, it wasn't that much of a decision. Once I won Worlds, I was like, hey, you know, try to move on to something else, a different sport, and MMA sprouted up, and I'm addicted to it now.
Well, right from our backyard, Jordan Burroughs is right down the road. You think you'd get in on the mat with him? You think you'd take him down?
I wrestled Jordan and Palmer in college. Jordan has never beaten me in college, even though I know he'd give me a thumping now. But when he wrestled at Nebraska, I actually beat him when I was wrestling at Penn State. But I saw him not too long ago at the Beat the Streets Gala wrestling Russia in New York City. So, yeah, man, he's a house, and you know, he's my vote to win the Olympics, and he's already won the World Tournament. So I'm thinking he'll bring it back to America for us.
We're talking to Bubba Jenkins here on the Doug and Daddy Show. He'll be in Kearney for RFA 3 June the 30th. Just a couple professional fights under your belt, Bubba, but they're both wins. How do you like how things have went so far in your MMA career?
I'm loving it. I mean, you can't argue with wins, that's for sure. Can't argue with first round wins either. So, I mean, a little experience that I've gotten inside the ring. I mean, I'm getting beat up and pounded around every other day at the gym and ATT. So it's a good mix of, you know, still having success in the sport, you know, on a bigger level, and still, you know, taking your lumps and your learning curve, you know, while you're in the gym, and, you know, getting your arm snapped out and messed up, and your neck, you know, guillotine with all these other guys in the room. So, I mean, it's just perfect for me, you know, and I didn't get the immediate success, you know, as far as I come in and just knocking people out, even inside the practice room. I mean, I'm taking my lumps, so, you know, I'm definitely humbled by the sport, and it's bringing me back to when I was first learning how to shoot a double leg and a half when I was, you know, 8 years old learning wrestling. It's bringing me back to that same kind of stardom. So, I mean, I'm enjoying the sport, and like I said, you know, it's getting very addicting. I want to be in the gym every day learning some kind of new way to hurt somebody. So it's a great sport, man.
Bubba, that kind of takes me into my next question. Since both of your professional fights, you have won in the first round. Endurance, obviously a factor, but if wrestlers, I've never seen a wrestler. If you're any kind of a wrestler, you're going to have endurance. What are still concerns of yours in your young career?
I wouldn't say the endurance thing. Like you said, you know, I've been wrestling for a long time, and most of the wrestlers can speak for me. They've been wrestling forever. So the grind of, you know, being tired and still having to get a win, or still having to, you know, finish on top at the end of the period, you know, we're kind of used to that. We're kind of used to that, you know, blowing your lungs out and still having, you know, another two rounds to go. So that's really not my concern. Most of my concern is, you know, getting caught with something that I don't see coming. You know, I get maybe too into my wrestling, or maybe I'm going too much for an offensive move, and I'm thinking completely offense, and I don't have my defensive guard up. That's what kind of makes me a little bit nervous, you know, the fact that even if you're better than the guy, he still has a puncher's chance. You know, it just takes one slip or one drop of the hand for a guy to just end you, you know. And in wrestling, you know, you can step on the mat, you shake a guy's hand, and you know, for the most part, 95% of the time, you're going to walk off that match, whether you got pinned, or whether you got, you know, beat, or whether you beat the guy. You know, for sure almost that you're going to walk off the mat. And in the May, you walk into that cage and they close that thing behind you. You don't know for a fact if you're walking out of there. You know, an elbow, a knee, or anything can, you know, have you limping out or carried out or whatever. So it's just a different avenue of danger for me. You know, I'm just trying to get into knowing where I should be and where I shouldn't be in the ring and where my feet are and where they aren't. You know, so it's a good learning experience.
Bubba, you've got to meet some great people, and if you read much of your bio at all, some people have had big influences on your life. How did Bruce Pearl impact Bubba Jenkins?
Well, Bruce Pearl, I think most people want to think that Bruce Pearl might be the Tennessee Volunteers basketball coach, but Bruce Pearl was my elementary and Pop Warner football coach. He coached Taj Boyd, the quarterback of Clemson, and me and Percy Harvin grew up together. He's my slot receiver for the Vikings, and he's the type of guy, Coach Bruce, to bring us all in under the same roof and make sure, you know, if our parents weren't picking us up, he'd make sure that he was taking us home, and, you know, he helped me become just a better citizen. You know, like, growing up in my neighborhood, you don't want to become a statistic or, you know, some of those type of guys. So he was just, you know, always making sure that my nose was clean and making sure that I carried myself as a good person, as a good human being. I mean, he's my role model. You know, he's the guy that I call to for advice and things like that, you know, because after my father died when I was 9, you know, father figures and men figures were harder and harder to come by. So, you know, I put a lot of my trust in Bruce Pearl, and I mean, he's helped me become the man that I am today, and along with my stepfather Carmelo. So, I mean, those are two guys that have definitely influenced my thoughts and basically my career, because, you know, he's the guy that I called on when I was getting recruited to all the colleges in the country. Like, hey, you know, what do you think about Lehigh? What do you think about Nebraska? What do you think about Penn State? And, you know, eventually we ended up signing with Penn State. So, I mean, he's helped me with a lot of big decisions in my life.
Okay, take us back signing with Penn State. You run into Joe Paterno. What happened?
I ran into Joe Paterno, and, you know, he just looked so fragile. You know, I just kind of wanted to say, hey, you know, how humbled and honored I am to meet a man. And he took the time out of his day to even say hello to me on my recruiting visit, you know. And I go to shake his hand, and he grabs my hand, and he pulls it to him, and then, like, he goes into, like, a drag double leg. He, like, drags my arm past him, and then he, like, hits me with a double leg. And I didn't sprawl. I didn't do anything, because you heard Paterno on your Penn State recruiting visit. You can pretty much cancel going to school in Pennsylvania everywhere. So I didn't do anything. I was just kind of shocked, and he was like, oh, yeah, you weren't ready for that. I'm too old to get you down. But he just stopped, and we just had a little laugh together, which was an awesome experience and, you know, something that I'll never forget. Joe Paterno was definitely a big influence to anyone who went to Penn State, God rest his soul, and just anybody who got to meet him. He was definitely a guy who just sat down and just gave you words of wisdom, and he was somebody that I definitely appreciate knowing and being around.
Another minute here with Bubba Jenkins on the Doug and Danny Show on ESPN Radio. Bubba, there's been Danny talked on him, but you got a chance to wrestle in the same room with Anthony Robles for a year. And if the folks don't remember right off, he was the one-legged wrestler, won the national championship as well. Tell us about your relationship with him and how maybe you guys fed off each other since you both won national titles.
Oh, man, Anthony was big role in my success. I remember maybe it was my senior year in high school, and I went to the senior national tournament. I had heard about Anthony for the longest. You know, this is the last tournament of the year, and I heard about him all year, about how this one-legged kid hops up on his leg and he hits a double leg from anywhere. And I got to talk to him about where he was going. This was at the time I was going to Penn State. He was going to Arizona State. And I just got to talk to him like, hey, man, good luck. Congratulations on all your success. You know, that's an awesome double leg you got going, man. Maybe one day we'll meet up and see who's got the better double leg. You know, and that was kind of, you know, the little talk that we had when we were, you know, 18, 19. Just so happens, you know, me and the new coach at Penn State did get along. And, you know, Arizona State, being that Brian Stiff went to the same high school as me, which is the assistant coach at Arizona State, he was like, hey, man, I'll fly you in. We'll have a recruiting visit for you, see how you like it. I was like, okay, cool. I get off the plane, and guess who else is waiting there for me to get into their car? Anthony Robles, you know, right there waiting for me. And I just felt like if I was a football player and Reggie Bush picked me up, I'd be ready to sign with that school. Being that I was a wrestler and Anthony Robles just picked me up, I'm just like, oh, man, I'm excited, you know, to talk to him about who's going to have the better double leg. And then I see if he remembers that conversation. And he brought me in. He was like, listen, man, I'm Shaq, you're Kobe. I'm D-Wade, you're LeBron, okay? We're one and the same. We're going to get the job done. We both want a ring, and we both have different styles of doing it. And I told him, I'm LeBron, you be D-Wade, I'll be Kobe. You know, I told him the opposite. So we had a little, you know, friendly battle from that day on. But, I mean, he's a quiet leader, you know. He's not going to tell you how he wants it done. He's just basically going to show you, and he's going to lead by example. I'm a different type of leader. I wear my emotions on my sleeve, and I, you know, I talk to the guys. I tell them what I want. And me and him, Coach, making us team captains and just being both sides of our coach's mind right now in the sport, it just helped us. It just helped our team get to where it needed to be. And we finished sixth in the country with taking four guys to nationals, and me and him put up the top 3 points scoring. Yeah, your boy Jordan Burroughs from Nebraska, he put up the number 1 point. I put up the number 2 points, and Anthony Robles put up the number 3 points. And between me and him, he was like, that's how LeBron and Wade does it. That's how Kobe and Shaq got it done. And me and him both got it done, and we wear our matching rings. I remember the most memorable point between me and Anthony is when we finally sat down. I was like, hey, you remember when we won senior nationals together? You remember when we won college nationals together? Now let's decide on which rings we're going to have. And we both went with a chrome finish ring, and we have them to this day, and no one can take that away from us, man. And just being around that kid is inspirational in itself. You know, he has so much disability and so many things he has to, you know, just go throughout his day with that no one ever thinks about, and he just gets it done with a smile on his face and moves on to the next task, you know. And just being around him just helps me stay motivated and helps me get that 11th lap in on the lap of 10 or that 12th set in on the lap of 10. So he's just a great inspiration, and it helps me look at him from being across the mat, and it helps me look at him from being across the country. We still talk, and he's still doing his motivational speaking, and, you know, we're still doing our thing.
Bubba Jenkins joins us. Bubba, we've got to ask you about your opponent a little bit different. He comes from a boxing background. He's out of Liberal, Kansas, Jesus Adami. I hope I'm getting that name correct. Do you know anything about this guy, or how do you go about when he's got a totally different style? How do you go about destroying him?
Well, like you said, I hope you got his name right, because I really don't know his name or know how to pronounce it, and I don't want to disrespect him by calling him something that he's not. So, yeah, the opponent, you know, is Jesus Adame or something like that, and they said, you know, he's been boxing since he's been crawling, and, you know, he's had 280 amateur boxing matches, which is a lot, and I mean, in anyone's category, but I think I've had 280 amateur wrestling matches, so I mean, it really is going to show who, you know, what discipline's better as far as MMA goes. And I just, you know, as a wrestler, and I don't think this is any secret to anybody, you know, I'm going to go in and try to take them down. You know, one thing you don't do, you don't box a boxer and you don't wrestle a wrestler. So I'm not going to go in and try to throw hands with them. You know, I'll mix some things up and keep my MMA, keep it mixed martial arts. I don't want to just keep it strictly wrestling, because, you know, that's not what we're here to do. We're here to open up the offense and open up every type of striking, and that's what I hope to do. I hope to mix it up enough on him that he's just not laying off shots on me. And I've learned that it's very hard to throw combinations from your back. So, you know, that's where I hope to put him.
Well, Bubba, it has been a very entertaining interview. I hope we can do this again. I know the fans are going to be rooting for you in 2 weeks here when you come into Kearney for RFA3, and hopefully we'll get a chance to catch up with you again either there or in the near future. Best of luck in a couple of weeks.
Absolutely. I want to thank you guys for having me, man. I appreciate being on, and, yeah, absolutely. I love the interview. So if you guys get bored during your lunch break and y'all want to talk to me again, call me up. We'll eat and talk about what we ate together.
Hit me up, guys. Bubba, you do know you're coming to where UNK, that's Tervell Delognev's hometown as well. You know that, right?
Yeah, I've actually heard about that. So, yeah, I'm excited to come there, man. I've only been to Nebraska once or twice. I actually went to Nebraska on my recruiting visit to see how I would like a big school, and it happened to be Nebraska spring break, so I didn't really get to see the Nebraska that I wanted to see. The ladies were all gone, all the people and the parties, everything was gone, so I kind of went on the wrong time for my recruiting visit. But, you know, I like coming to Nebraska, and it was a good showing the first time, so I'm hoping it's, you know, more of the same second.
Well, Bubba, thanks for the time. We'll talk to you again soon. Good luck.
All right. Thank you, guys.
Take care. Bubba Jenkins, Doug and Daddy Show. I wanted to tell him, no, that wasn't really spring break. That was, that's just what they told you. That's just what they told you, Bubba. It wasn't really spring break. There you go. Folks, we told you we were going to give you a chance to play some golf this weekend. Let's do it right now during our break. 888-455-ESPN. I'm going to give you one of the easiest golf questions ever. This is the two-man, two-day extravaganza, and it's tomorrow and Sunday, 10 a.m. shotgun, both days, each nine holes, Each day is different. Best ball, alternate, scramble, and aggregate. It's always fun. $120 value. You will be in for free in the Broken Bow Country Club two-man, two-day extravaganza. If you call now at 888-455-ESPN, that's 888-455-3776, and can tell me who the current leader of the U.S. Open is. We're back after this.
Hey, Golick, is that a new phone?
Yeah, Greeny, you like it?
You do realize it's a smartphone, right?
Ah, yeah, ha-ha, very funny. But check this out. With La Quinta's new instant hold feature, I can hold a room on my smartphone for up to 4 hours in advance.
That's convenient.
So, even if I'm out on the road, I can call an audible.
So how's that work?
Here you go. Just punch in your phone number. La Quinta's mobile site keeps me on top of my game. It's easy.
But you don't know your phone number.
Dude, I never call myself.
La Quinta Inns and Suites takes care of you so you can take care of business.
Instant hold your next stay at LQ.com.
Imagine two identical cars. One has been continuously filled with low detergent gasoline. The other with BP gasoline with Invigorate. When used continuously, it helps clean and protect critical engine parts from harmful deposits, which can help it go a little farther between fill-ups than a car that continuously uses low detergent gas. Now imagine both cars driving down the highway. Which one could go a little farther? BP gasoline with Invigorate. Imagine that.
The 19th annual Ravenna Tractor Pull will be pulling two nights. That's right, you get two nights of pulling action. June 15th starting at 7 and the 16th starting at 5 in Anavar Park. Brought to you by Loprino Foods, RAI of Nebraska, New Tech Seed, Town & Country Bank, Pedals & Pictures, Zorb Farms, Ravenna Sanitation, and Flashbacks Bar & Grill. They're all from Ravenna. Get in on dirt flinging, engine roaring, smoking tractor pulling action. See you at Anavar Park, June 15th and the 16th.
ESPN Radio Superstation 1460 and 1550 Weather Eye Weather is brought to you by Farm Bureau Insurance agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers on North 2nd Avenue in Kearney. Farm Bureau agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers in Kearney, no health insurance. As independent and authorized producers of Blue Cross Blue Shield of Nebraska, independent licensees of the Blue Cross Blue Shield Association, Rich Peters and Matt Myers will work with you to make sure you have health insurance coverage that fits your needs. Their approach is simple. They listen. And will tailor a policy that'll work within your budget. When you need health insurance, just call Rich Peters and Matt Myers, your local Farm Bureau agents. Farm Bureau Property and Casualty Insurance Company. Western Agricultural Insurance Company. Securities and services offered through FBL Marketing Services, LLC. Affiliate, Farm Bureau Financial Services.
More clouds and sunshine make their way through for the day today. And with another round of showers and thunderstorms developing, we've a breezy high of 86. For tonight, those showers and thunderstorms continue with the low near 63. Right now, it's 75 degrees.
Doug and Daddy Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Matt from Ansley is going to Broken Bow. How convenient. He knew that Michael Thompson, was he the same one that guessed Matt and Mark, do you think?
I don't think so.
We had some different ones out there, but Michael Thompson leading the U.S. Open. Two-man, two-day extravaganza. And if you want to get in, of course, contact the Broken Bow Country Club. But Matt and a guest will be on ESPN Radio. Their entry fee taken care of by us and the Broken Bow Country Club. So have fun this weekend. And, Daddy, don't forget to vote on the poll question, our ESPN Superstation poll question yesterday. What should happen with a designated hitter in Major League Baseball? 41% said should be abolished. 35% said it should be added to the National League. And only 24% said, keep it the way it is. You were That's in the minority.
I was
us.
In the minority. I thought that, I don't know, been an American League guy. I know it's a different style of baseball, and that's just the way it's been. I guess been that way for so long. I hate to be Lothar, King of the Hill people, and make a decision, but
Well, with that poll, there wasn't a clear majority either. So you kind of see it's still split. There's still those, you know, those people that want it AL only, you know. So it's a good poll to see what everyone actually thinks nationally too. So I don't think you're going to get a decision. I think status quo will stay.
And you can vote on our weekend poll question to pick up points for the Hy-Vee Rewards Fan Club and get Hy-Vee Deli pizzas, Bridgestone golf balls, RFA 3 tickets. All you have to do is accumulate your points. It's free to join ESPNSuperstation.com. It's free to vote and take care and take part in all of our activities and polls and giveaways. And then you get free stuff. It's free. This weekend, which team are you most rooting for in the College World Series? Arkansas, South Carolina, or one of the underdogs, Kent State, Stony Brook? Daddy?
Stony Brook. I just think it's such a great story, being a four seed. I said when we were doing the radio show when Fresno State won this, Doug, as a four seed in this tournament, you know, I called it as impressive as the Americans beating the Russians in hockey, and people thought I was nuts.
Well, you were.
Well, you wouldn't even qualify.
If you take that away and go with whatever second place would be as far as upsets, then I think you're
just
in the realm of
it's
things.
Just such a great story.
I mean, you can talk Buster Douglas, Mike Tyson,
Kent State, another great story. I don't know how you. Kent State's not getting the love Stony Brook is because, well, people in the midst, I mean, we follow Frank Solich and Ohio play. I mean, if we didn't know anything about the MAC conference, if Frank Solich and Noah Keller didn't go to Ohio, Kent State would be just as good a story, I think, about Stony Brook. But since we're familiar with Kent State, they're not getting the love and adoration that Stony Brook is.
You know, in the end, Stony Brook's still in New York, and I really don't like much about New York.
Huh. Fair enough.
I don't know. I might have to vote for Arkansas and Dave Van Horn just for that fact. I will tell you one thing, Daddy, and vote today, ESPNSuperstation.com. I look at this field, and I really, we talked with Coach Savage, I don't know much about Arizona at all. And Florida's the number one national team. But is there, of these eight teams, is there any of them that are disliked? Texas isn't here. Fill in the blank with a bunch of other ones. USC isn't here.
Miami
isn't here. I mean, you can go down the list. Maybe there's a little disdain for Florida because they're number one, but they haven't come in here and won it numerous times, and it's not football, and it's not Spurrier, and it's not all that, and that's past. You know, again, that's 15 years since we've had any dealings with Florida in any real realm of any sport. There's not really a dislikable team here, is there?
No, I don't think so. But I will think that some people on the Dave Van Horn deal that brought us back to greatness, you've got 95% of the people that say, let's cheer for Arkansas, go Hogs, do the pig suey and all that. You got another 5% going, that son of a, he left us.
Well, they're not sports fans, and I don't want to talk to them, and I don't want to deal with them, and they're idiots. They're the same kind of people that every poll that they're saying, who's going to win, Miami or Oklahoma City? Washington is voting for Oklahoma City. Or, I mean, voting for the Heat because they're mad that they took their team from Seattle. Oklahoma City didn't have anything to do with it. They were leaving Seattle. They were going somewhere. They had to go somewhere. Oklahoma City's where they landed. Oklahoma City didn't steal Seattle Supersonics. They were not staying in Seattle. They were going somewhere. They went to Oklahoma City. We'll take a break on the Doug and Daddy Show, but don't forget, folks, when you're watching the College World Series today, Kearney, Grand Island, the place to be is the Chicken Coop. And today, the Chicken Coop is hosting a tailgate party for the Stony Brook Seawolves. They are your official Stony Brook Seawolves hotspot and sports bar. Enter a drawing during the tailgate party for a chance to win two tickets to the championship game of the College World Series. Come dressed the best in your baseball fan attire for a chance to win a $25 gift certificate to the Chicken Coop. So today, the game is at 4. It doesn't have to be Stony Brook. It could be your Little League gear. It could be your whole team. You bring him in after, maybe you got practice, maybe you're playing baseball. Folks, I know we've got Legion Baseball up here at Memorial Field today with the Kearney and Grand Island tournament. Bring your team in. $25 gift certificate is a possibility. And don't forget to enter for a chance to win tickets today for the championship game of the College World Series. They'll have fun giveaways all day and all night. Don't miss the Stony Brook Seawolves tailgate party. It's at the Chicken Coop in Kearney today. Back after this.
Do you remember when taking a bath and going for a swim became the same thing for a few days? And when making the perfect s'more meant burning 3 marshmallows before getting one just right? then keep the tradition going at Bass Pro Shops Family Summer Camp. This weekend, kids can try fishing in our catch and release pond, paint a wiggle snake craft for dad, and more, all for free. Find out more at basspro.com/camp. Plus, check out great gifts for dad during our Father's Day sale.
Get in the zone!
Prices at the pump are tough to take right now, but the experts at AutoZone have advice to make saving gas as easy as 1, 2, 3. 1, keep your tires properly inflated. 2, perform a simple tune-up. And 3, pour in a bottle of fuel system cleaner. Doing these three simple things can help make a real difference so you can stretch out the time between fill-ups and stretch your gas dollars further. Come on into AutoZone today for even more gas-saving tips, because parts are just part of what we do.
Get in the zone!
AutoZone.
About 80 years before the seeds for the trees that produce the lumber that they sell now were even planted, Mead Lumber was born in Nebraska. Like the trees, Mead Lumber locations have sprouted all over. The latest is just east of Kearney. Contractors will appreciate veteran lumberman Ron Frederick and his decades of experience in problem solving. Heading up the Mead team, Mead Lumber, on the way to the industrial park, East 39th, cleverly located beneath the big red Mead Lumber sign.
Out here, we know that most luck comes from hard work, goals, and sticking to it. We live in a place where great ideas meet great passion. And a hard day's work isn't just for some days, it's every day. Where the people support business and agriculture, and business and agriculture support the people. Creating a culture where anything is possible. That's why we're proud to have been born and raised here in Nebraska. By Valley State Bank and Trust, your financial center, member FDIC.
Choosing a lawyer is an important decision. My name is Chris Miller, a native of Ravenna and graduate of UNK. After practicing law away from home for over 9 years, I have returned to Nebraska to start my own law firm with a focus on general litigation, business disputes, and personal injury. If you or your business have been wronged by an insurance company or just have that feeling you aren't being treated fairly, we can help. There are many lawyers you can call. So look around, ask questions, then find us on the web at millergrell.com. That's millergrell.com. We're here to help.
Sam McEwen going to join us here in just a moment with our TNL recruiting update on the Doug and Daddy Show as we're here in the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth. Whether you're looking for Chevrolet, Cadillacs, Buicks, Jeeps, Chryslers, they've got them all for you, new, pre-owned. They're there at the Midway Chevrolet, Buick, Cadillac, Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, Ram stores, South 2nd Avenue in Kearney. Don't forget, they can take care of your brakes, fuel systems. Maybe you just need a little work done on your vehicle. How about the Mopar Express Lane? Get it in there. Get it done. 30 minutes. It could be done in quicker than 30 minutes. You can sit there in their beautiful air-conditioned lounge. They've got a place where you can work on the computer with your Wi-Fi, internet access, cappuccino if you want that. Call and make an appointment or just swing by and get right on in there. That's the beauty. They have so many great certified technicians on hand that they can get you in and out, whether it's today or tomorrow over the weekend, Monday through Saturday. They're there for you at the Midway Auto Dealership, South 2nd Avenue in Kearney. Glad to have them on board. Daddy, a couple things that we've talked about so much. I don't know where the time went on the show today. Eight-man All-Star game. We again want to thank the folks for having us over at camp yesterday. That game tomorrow at 1:30 on Classic Hits 98.9. Primetime, Nebraska, UCLA, 6:30 Central Time.
That's perfect. I think anybody that's going out there would say that's a great time to have this game. I don't know how anybody, you know, would be down on that.
4:30 in the Rose Bowl. And pretty cool honor here for our friend Tom McCann. Now, the Cornhusker State Games Torch Run is passing through Kearney today. They stop here 6 p.m. Welcome ceremony at Cushing Fieldhouse tonight. Public is invited to welcome and congratulate the local Torch Runners and Games participant. Bryce Abbey is going to be on hand and so much more. Go to CornhuskerStateGames.com for more information. But they have also announced that Tom McCann, 45 years in wrestling, 42 at Kearney High, has been chosen to lead all the athletes onto the field for the opening ceremonies July 20th at Seacrest Field in Lincoln. That's as big an honor as you can have with the Cornhusker State Games. Awesome. Leading them in and lighting the cauldron. Somebody else, I believe, will do that, but Tom McCann will get that honor. He's honorary parade marshal.
Well, that's Nebraska's Rose Bowl parade there, Tom.
Congratulations to Coach McCann.
Yeah, that's a super honor. That's a real good super honor for him.
Time for our T&L Husker Recruiting Report, brought to you by T&L Irrigation Systems. Choosing the right recruit for Nebraska can be a difficult decision, but choosing your pivot system, well, the choice is simple with T&L, providing a safe, hassle-free, and reliable hydrostatically powered pivot for continuous movement and even water distribution. T&L Irrigation Systems, proven technology that works. Sam McEwen doesn't take time off. He's all over the place. Next thing, he'll be speaking at Football 2 OT as probably the lead speaker.
Yeah, if it's not doing football, he's doing College World Series. Then he's doing swim trials. He's doing it all. Sam McEwen joins us from the World Herald. Sam, how are you today? Thanks for joining us.
Hey, I'm great. Thanks for having me on, guys.
Well, as many fans would have thought that there was not a whole lot going on here unless they're deep into the recruiting news and into what's going on with Football 202, but there was a lot that went on and some good articles from everybody coming out on that. Your take on what's been going on with the program here the last 10 days?
Well, it's quite a bit. I mean, they tried to pack a lot into this time. They conducted their camps for 9 days, you know, from Monday of last week until Tuesday or Wednesday of this week. They put in their Football 202 session with the fans. Had a celebrity golf outing up in Omaha. So it's been a busy 2 weeks for that program. And they also started their off-season conditioning, their summer conditioning, I should say. That started early this week. So there's been a lot going on. They're sort of getting the machine going in terms of the players. The coaches are going to take, most of the coaches will take a vacation now after Big Red Weekend. They'll probably take about a week or two of a lull, and then they'll kick it back into gear in late July. But, I mean, these guys need a break. They've been on the road for about a month and a half in terms of recruiting. So this will be their break right after Big Red Weekend, which is the next 2 days.
Sam, I think things a lot has changed in the recruiting landscape, but it used to be to get noticed, you went to the camps. Well, everybody's identified well before they get to these camps, and it used to be, well, they picked up 3-4 commits out of a camp because they didn't know about the kid, or the kid maybe came from off the radar. That doesn't happen anymore.
It doesn't happen as much anymore. I think the pendulum has really swung in the other direction. Because of video technology and because of the internet, coaches are getting to see these players a lot earlier. What I will say is that there is some value to seeing players up close, for one thing. And for another, kids do mature. And sometimes when you look at video of their early junior season, it may not be the same kid you see in 9 months. And so while camps don't have a lot of importance right now, I could see them getting that again. I could see them becoming more important. And they're vitally important when you talk about Nebraska's walk-on program, because that's one way that Nebraska assesses guys that it wants to bring on to the walk-on program. And if you look at, frankly, the walk-on's track record under Bo Pelini, a lot of them play. So you can't, even though they're not scholarship kids, they play. So the camps have that value. But otherwise, you're right. A lot of these kids have already committed by the time the camps happen. And since you got to pay your own way to the camps, it makes it really hard for kids to get all the way up to Nebraska with travel costs and fuel costs what they are. I'm sure there's going to be teams like Nebraska that will try to lobby for players to be able to take their official visits in the summer. And if they're able to take their official visits in the summer, then you'll see more kids come in the summer. As it stands right now, the university can't pay for them to come on campus until the fall. And so it makes it hard for Nebraska sometimes, because these kids got to pay out of their own pocket to get here.
Sam McEwen, Omaha World Herald, joining us here on the Doug and Daddy Show on ESPN Radio. Sam, Nebraska just didn't have a lot of scholarships to offer in last year's recruiting class. It seems like they're way ahead of the game this year. Where do you see where they're at right now?
I think they're about where they thought they would be. I think they would like to have more commits after this weekend. So they're bringing in, I don't know, 9 or 10 uncommitted guys, and I think they'd like to get 2 or 3 commits out of that. Ross Sells of Football 2 basically said, we want to be as full as we possibly can be, as soon as we possibly can be. And I think what they're trying to accomplish there, and I don't blame Ross for wanting to do that, is A, getting in on some of the top prospects early and help, and having the commits help recruit the last people out there, and B, trying to take a little bit of the stress off this coaching staff in January, because their January, as it stands right now, is really, really tough. And when you have a signing day decision like Andrews Pete not go your way, which it didn't, that was a huge blow for the program. I mean, it was like, oh, boy. They put a lot of eggs in that basket. They thought the kid was going to come, and he didn't come to Nebraska. He went to Stanford instead. And there was just no time to reverse course. I mean, there wasn't any time to go out and evaluate other people. So they're trying to get their needs addressed really early so that what they're doing late in the process is adjusting on the fly, and they're not having to wait until the last day for a major commit.
Sam, of all these uncommitted kids that are coming in this week, is there one that's a key target for Big Red?
Well, there's several. There's several. If you're looking at the guy that is probably the best football player overall, I think it's probably Darian Claiborne. He's a linebacker from Port Allen, Louisiana, which is right across the river from Baton Rouge. And LSU apparently just doesn't want him. I mean, they've got their other guys that they're looking at, they're people they're more interested in. And so as a result, I think he's looking around. He seems to be down to Nebraska and Texas A&M, two very good schools for defense. And I think Claiborne's probably the best guy that's coming up. There's a guy that's coming from Maryland by the name of Marcus Newby. He is from the same high school as John Papuchis and Jason Ankra. He's a nice player. He's a little smaller than Claiborne. Fast guy, playmaker. Could probably play on either side of the ball. He's a nice player that's coming up. The sleeper of the bunch is a kid out of Sioux Falls, South Dakota, by the name of Nathan Jerry. He is a very interesting player. He's 6'2". He's about 205. He's a safety. He's a true safety. He's being recruited as a safety or a wide receiver by most big programs, and Nebraska's recruiting him as a safety. If his 40 times are close to accurate, and the times that are out there are 4.4, low 4.5, and he really is that big, that's a really special guy who's flying under the radar in Nebraska. Would very much like to get his commitment possibly this weekend.
Sam, the quarterback position, does Nebraska have to have a quarterback in this class?
I think so. I think you have to get a quarterback every single year. And the reason that you have to do that is you have to account for the possibility of injury. And Nebraska's actually been pretty fortunate with Taylor Martinez. He's missed a few games, but really not that much. And you also have to find that succession plan when the quarterback you have in place leaves the program. Alabama's a really good example. Okay, A.J. McCarron is probably going to be around for two more years there, just like Taylor Martinez. But Alabama already has two quarterback commits in this class. And last year they had one. And the year before that, they had two. You just keep bringing quarterbacks in, and here's why. With quarterbacks, you can feel confident that if they're not the guy, they're going to leave, just like Cody Green did. And a lot of people, you know, some people thought, Cody shouldn't leave. That's not true. When a quarterback's not going to be your guy, you want them to leave because they open the scholarship back up, and you can go look for another quarterback who might be the right fit. So a lot of times, quarterbacks are the kind of people where, you know what, they want to leave the team, they have to transfer in order to do that, and they will transfer. And that's okay. But you got to keep bringing them in case of that happening. You know, Nebraska's had, I think, a quarterback retire in Cody Spano and a quarterback transfer in Cody Green. And Tommy Armstrong's the only guy they brought in to account for that. So, and they also had a quarterback graduate with Travis Washington. So this has been a really slim quarterback class. And as much as I like Riker Fife and Tyson Brockmeyer, who are two walk-ons at Nebraska, you know, I just don't know that you can count on one of those guys to develop into a scholarship quarterback. I think Fife's probably got a better chance of doing that, but I'm not sure you can count on it. So I think you got to keep going and getting a scholarship offer every single year.
And, of course, Sam McEwen, a great article on Riker Fife right after the Shrine Bowl. If you hadn't seen that, check it out in the archives at omaha.com. Last minute with Sam McEwen. One commit this week, Sam, Kevin Gladney, a wide receiver out of Ohio. Tell us about him.
He's a big guy. He's bigger. He's a bigger guy. You know, he could add 15 pounds. He reminds me a little bit of a Quincy Enunwa. He's probably got a little bit more straight-line speed than Enunwa. He does a good job of getting out of breaks. Got a good first step. He can run a cornerback off, that kind of thing. He's more of an over the middle kind of possession guy, a little bit like Brandon Kinney, who I don't think ever realized his full potential at Nebraska because he had some issues with drops in the senior year. But overall, yeah, I'd put him in that category. He's going to have to gain some weight. There's no question about that. And they're not going to need his services right away next year. I mean, he'll have a redshirt year. I don't anticipate a lot of Nebraska receivers not going through a redshirt year, although Jordan Westerkamp to play as a true freshman. But I think Gladney's going to be a guy that takes a redshirt year, and you hope that he develops into someone like Enunwa.
Sam, last question I've got for you is, okay, is there anybody out there, all these recruits, we're talking about next year, we're talking February, is there anybody that could get eligible? Is there any position out there, a junior college kid, that could help the team this year and be on campus this year yet for the Huskers?
Well, no. I don't anticipate Nebraska getting anybody that's going to help in 2012. There are players, they're recruiting two junior college players for the 2013 class that will be in the spring of 2013. One of those is a tight end by the name of Bo Sandlin, who's in town this weekend. And the other is a defensive tackle who's in this weekend by the name of Toby Johnson. But I don't anticipate Nebraska picking up any late junior college guys that will help the team right away this year. I think they're going to have to do it with the roster they have on hand.
Sam, we're going to get both College World Series games in down there today?
Well, you know, here's the thing that comes into play down there, and if I don't know if you guys have been there a lot or not,
yeah,
is if the wind blows in off the river, that's part of the reason why it's so hard to hit home runs there, and I think that means more rain. So sometimes the clouds will hit that river and then it'll bring the rain back in, and I'm just not sure they'll get both of them in. No, I think they'll get the Stony Brook one in because it starts at 4, and they'll find a way to get it done. But I'd be surprised if both did.
The writer for the Omaha World Herald and meteorologist on the side, Sam McEwen. Sam, yeah, we appreciate the time today on the Doug and Daddy Show. Thanks so much.
Take care.
Thanks, Sam. Sam McEwen and Omaha joining us here on the Doug and Daddy Show, and that is our T&L Husker recruiting report. Find out how easy the choice is yourself for T&L Irrigation Systems by contacting your nearest T&L dealer or by going online, tlirr.com. All over the United States, 60 country worldwide, TLL irrigation systems are proven technology that works.
Interesting stuff there, and I think more than normal Nebraska football talk. And this is, like you said, Doug, for the people that are in the chat rooms, on the message boards, that follow that stuff so closely, these are kids that are going to commit signing day next February.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what we're referring to. So it's no real talk about the Nebraska football team, per se, other than the class, next year's class.
Had some fun. Again, 8-man tomorrow, 1:30 here at On Classic Hits. Had some fun at the Hastings Tribune Volleyball Classic last night. Some really good athletes over there. They're all going on to do something in college. So there you go. We talked about Coach McCann. Travell DeLognev in Sports Illustrated mentioned that, I believe, on yesterday's show as well. Check that out in case you missed it. But coming up here on ESPN Radio, the College World Series pregame at 3:40, first pitch at 4, Stony Brook at UCLA, Florida State playing Arizona tomorrow, 4 o'clock, Arkansas, Kent State, Florida, South Carolina. Daddy, any changes? I took Florida State. I think maybe you took Florida when this all started. They both made it.
Well, yeah, at least we're still alive. We're still battling at this point. But we'll see what happens, see if we get a Cinderella to advance in the winner's bracket. I think that would be fun and exciting for everybody down there.
I think the only thing that would make me go blah is Florida-Arizona final. And that's just because there's no real attachment to either one of those teams. So there you go. Coming up next, after our sports report with Mike Will, we take you live to San Francisco and the Olympic Club, where it's pretty darn tough right now. Nobody is making a move. They're all coming back. Can Michael Thompson, in a couple of hours, get on the course and keep it there? I think if Graham McDowell can get into the clubhouse as he's about ready to make the turn anywhere close to even, he's going to have a heck of a chance at being in the final group tomorrow. But that's coming up right now until 3:40 when we join the College World Series. And we want to thank UCLA baseball coach John Savage for joining us on today's program, as well as Bubba Jenkins. If you missed any of that great interview with Bubba, he's going to be an RFA 3 in 2 weeks in Kearney, and Sam McEwen from the Omaha World Herald. As always, if you missed any of our interviews, go to the podcast at ESPNSuperstation.com, brought to you by Cunningham's.
Folks, happy Father's Day this weekend, all the fathers out there. Hope you have a wonderful, wonderful weekend. Be safe. We'll see you Monday here. Doug and Daddy Show on Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
Love you, Daddy.
You've been listening to a Doug and Daddy podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
Oh, darling, I feel like amazing.
Don't make me do that again.
Game over.